Okay. Is that getting there now? Better? No? Carry on? Good. Is that okay at the back? All you people at the back, you're proper Baptists. Well, if you're new to the church, welcome. And if you're not, it's good to see you. Sorry, I'm a little bit croaky today. But nothing will stop me. Chris was saying, I've been praying for you, that you'll manage to sort of, what did she say? Manage the service through. Well, there's always a good way of managing a service through delegation. There's always more than one person that could do things in the service. Anyway, if you've been with us every week, you know that we've been looking at, this year, we're looking at our theme is discipleship. And each month we're taking one step. We're looking at one step that is essential that we take as part of our walk with God. And it's not necessarily that you do it, you know, like this month I do this step and this month I do that step. These are steps that we take every day of our lives. I was thinking of that song. Hang on a minute. I had a sweet just to make sure my throat was clear enough, but it's getting in the way. Excuse me. Can't get any better, can it? But it's just like that song we said, that we're taking steps. Every day we're taking steps in our walk of faith. So it's not like an individual step, it's steps. But we are looking at these steps. And the first one was that the first step that we take in our faith is following Jesus. That's the first thing we've got to do, is respond to that call when Jesus says, come follow me if you're going to be my disciples. And then the second step that Jane started on last week was to serve. That we are called to serve Jesus. And I'm going to be looking at the cost of being a disciple. And I'm sure we've all heard sermons on this more than once, and we're all aware of this, the cost of being a disciple, the cost of being a follower of Jesus. What does the word disciple mean? It means somebody that actually dedicates themselves to someone. But the Greek word, it actually means to learn. That's all it means, is to learn, matheos. And so the disciples were called matheos Peter, learn Peter, or Peter that learned. And it's the same word that I would use today. For those who don't know me, I'm Greek. And if I was to say to my mother, if she was alive, because she was the only one I really spoke Greek to, that now I've finished my degree, which I have, I've got the last essay, which I left at home, and I was meant to put it in the post, coming to church, and I forgot. But I finished my degree, and thank you for all your prayers and supports and corrections that you've helped me. Oops! Come back. Are we still here? If I was to say to my mother, I'll just shove it in my pocket, because I might pull it off there as well. If I was to say to my mother, I've now finished my degree, I would say to her, I've now finished my degree, dear mother, I've learned. Truth of the matter is, you haven't learned. It's the beginning. But that's what it means to be a disciple. So before we read the passage that I want to look at, which is about carrying our cross and counting the cost of discipleship, I just want to put it in context. Just before Jesus talks about what it means to be the cost of a disciple, he actually shares two parables in that little section. But just before that, he shares about another parable about the great banquet. And basically, we all know that story. If you're regular churchgoers, you know about the story that there is a great feast going on, a great banquet, a good meal, a bit like the Alpha. And invites have gone out. And I suspect that these invites have gone out. It's a sermon on its own, so I don't want to get sidetracked too much, but it's very important because it does link in. Is that these invites have gone out to people that are all, who know about Christianity, who know about the great King, who have got links with the church, who have actually been coming along to church for years and years and years. And these invites have gone out to them, and they've turned their noses up to it, and they don't want to know. And following on from that, Jesus then starts to talk about the cost of what it means to be a disciple. So let's just, please, Jim, if you could put up the reading. You don't have the text up there. Can you go to the next one where the text is? The next slide. Yeah, lovely. Sorry, that was a little picture. I should have had that at the beginning. This is reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 to 34. Sorry, I didn't get the page number in the New Testament, but this is the Good News version that's up here. Once, when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, those who come to me, cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love their father, their mother, their wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well. Those who do not carry their own cross, and come after me cannot be my disciples. If one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and work out what it will cost you to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower. After laying the foundations, and all who see what happened will laugh at you. This man began to build, but not finishing the job, they will say. If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight after another king who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down first and decide if he's strong enough to face that king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king to ask for terms of peace while he's still a long way off. In the same way, concluded Jesus, none of you can be my disciples unless you give up everything you have. In this version, it talks about, doesn't use the word hate, but in the actual original Greek, in some versions, it actually does translate it, you know, to hate your family. But it doesn't mean really to hate. It's just a figurative language. It's really just saying that they have got to be second. Anything that's going to be before following Christ, it just isn't going to work. A disciple, as I've said already, is a learner. When Jesus says to follow Jesus, he means follow him. He doesn't mean half-heartedly. In this verse, we have a list of potential relationships that we can have. And Jesus strongly tells the crowds that no other relationship is first for a disciple. And I know that's difficult. We all know that's difficult. Because if we've got strong relationships with people, you know, you're just so close. And if you are in a relationship, that often puts pressure on you with your faith. It is difficult. And even if you're not in a relationship that actually the other partner doesn't put pressure on you with your faith and you're just two Christians, it's still difficult. I know. The word hate, as I said, Jesus is not saying literally to hate in the way hate is used generally in the Bible. We know that because of God's character. God is love. But he is saying you have got to have that sort of attitude, just to put it aside. In verse 27, we discover about cross-bearing. Being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, learning the way of serving God and serving each other, it is essential that we learn the way of carrying our cross daily. What is this carrying our cross daily? In Luke 9:23, again, this is prior to this parable, Jesus says again, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Here Jesus was encouraging those who were superficial to either go deeper or to turn back to him. What is superficial? Shallow. Just not letting it go deep enough, not letting it actually really penetrate your life. I don't believe here that Jesus is talking just to the crowds. He's talking to the disciples, not the 12. There were hundreds of disciples at this point, because I think before this bit here, we've already got the 70 going out. So he's talking actually to people that are already decided to follow him and be learners of him. And not just those who are, for the first time, they're hearing the message, come follow me, and if you're going to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. He's talking to us. It's a challenge to us. God is saying to each one of us that if we want to be learners of him, we want to be followers of him, step by step, this is one of the steps. We need to go deeper. We need to live a life that is more about others and not ourselves. First century Christians and the crowd, when Jesus said to them, you need to take up your cross and follow me, they knew exactly what he meant. They were living under Roman occupation. And the Romans, as part of their death sentence, was the crucifixion. It was a cruel way that they actually killed people. So they knew exactly, and it was a strange thing, you know, a strong thing to be saying, but it is a strong thing. You cannot be half-hearted about following Jesus. They knew what it meant. When someone was sentenced to death, they not only had to be, you know, go through having to die, they had to carry their cross. And that's what they did to Jesus. They made him carry his cross. Do you know what it's like when you get a shock? When you have a shock, your legs go, don't they? You imagine the fear of these people and our Lord, you know, and then still having to traipse through these streets. And we've been to Jerusalem. We've been fortunate to go there and we've seen the streets and we've walked the way that Jesus walked. And they're not easy roads, those cobble roads and up and down hills and up and down steps. But The way of being a disciple for Jesus is not an easy way, and the Lord wants to encourage us today. This is a message for all of us. We can easily get complacent, easily think we're in, we've taken that first step, we're Christians. You know, I'm a disciple. I follow Jesus. I follow him within this boundary that I set up. I love him. I come to church. I give my money occasionally. I might pray occasionally. I might read my Bible. I might do the odd nice thing. But that's it. It stays here. And we go no further. And Jesus is saying, I want you to come out of that and go deeper, deeper. And how do we go deeper? I'm going to touch more on it. What does it mean in our everyday living, carrying our cross? It translates like this. Putting others first before us. That is so hard. We know that, don't we? We know. We're all Christians here. Most of us, I look around, I think most of us here, we know the Lord and love him. But it's hard to put others before us, to think of others better than ourselves. Honestly. Do we really walk around like that, thinking others are better than us? But that's the way we are meant to be as disciples, as followers of Jesus, as servers of Jesus. We are to think of others better than ourselves. Paul wrote this to the Philippians church. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. The Apostle Paul reminds us, again, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? I love this, really, to be honest. This is my favourite verse. When we used to sing this at Christ Church, Spitalfields, this is the church that I got saved at. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I just love that, because that was so true. For me to live is Christ. And actually, to die to myself was a gain. But that's a lesson that we learn as we go through. We don't really often realise it's the best for us when we're having to die to ourselves. Because when we're going to die to ourselves over something, it's going to hurt. And we don't like anything that hurts. Laying down our ways and serving each other with good words, good deeds. Good deeds. Say amen. Good deeds. Don't you agree? We're so easy. We've got rotten words to say to each other or about each other. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. And why has it got to stop? Well, one, it's not for us. And two, going back to that parable, which I didn't preach on, about the great banquet, is actually so that we don't get malnourished and we don't miss out on the banquet the Lord's got for us. But we don't want others to miss out. Are people going to come and join us and eat with us if we are not being what the Lord has called us to be? Not selfish, not talking badly about each other, being good to each other. And we're a great church, okay? I wouldn't be saying yes to come and be here and serve here. You know, we've fallen in love with you, and I'm glad that most of you are falling in love with me and Steve. For those of you who don't know what I'm going on about, the church has asked me to come and work alongside them for a few years as an associate minister, and I'm really looking forward to that. You possibly may not now, after you hear this sermon, but I think I've always been honest. This is not my words anyway, this is the Lord's words. This is what the Lord teaches us, and we want to be people that follow the word of God and live the life that he has called us to live. We don't want to go to heaven and think, well, you know, we haven't fulfilled all that the Lord wants us to do. So following Jesus, keep doing the right steps, step by step. We become attractive, and that banquet becomes attractive to others. Jesus calls us to count the cost. We have two parables in this section. They are very similar, but they are both making two very different points. The first parable is about choice, how a builder will sit down and calculate whether he can afford to build a tower. Counting the cost is important. Jesus does not want disciples who do not think about what they are getting into. We run an alpha course that helps that. Some of us come to faith, and we don't actually have never really thought through why we came to faith, but God has touched us and we just run to him and we haven't worked it and figured it out. And that's fine, but you can figure things out. If you've never thought through what you actually ever believe in, the Alpha course is really good for that. For many of us, we have counted the costs and we worked out that actually it's really good to follow Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. We've done that. But the reality is that we do not know the whole cost, do we? Because we do not know what lies ahead. And our journey is dynamic. It's moving. Hopefully it's moving. You can always stop and start to stagnate. That's because actually you've forgotten that you counted the cost. And you made a decision. It's better for me to live for Christ than to live for myself. But we don't know everything that goes on in our lives. And that's why really this message is not just first time when you hear it, when Jesus says, come follow me and take up your cross. It's every day. Steve and I, we had an extension about 20 years ago? 19 years ago? Oh, he's more precise than me. We knew the Lord wanted us to stay in Tower Hamlets. We had a lovely house. We had four kids, three girls and one boy. And the house was three bedrooms, but really one of the bedrooms was a cupboard. And we were thinking for the future. At the moment, all four of them were in one room. And it's a very small house, really. But we knew that we had to think about extending or leaving the borough, because you couldn't buy another house in Tower Hamlets. It's just the prices the way they are. We all know what it's like in Tower Hamlets. Poorest borough in England, and yet we can't even buy our houses to live in them. But the Lord provided. We went for an extension. We counted the costs. We borrowed the money. And when they came to lay the foundations, they said, actually, we made a mistake. You don't need these piles. Basically, we live on the Isle of Dogs, and it's marshland, and you have to have piles before you can build. And they said, you don't need these piles. You need these piles, and these piles will cost double. Isn't that the case? I mean, I love builders and all that, but isn't that always the case? The estimate always moves. That's why it's good about Jesus. He says, didn't he? Count the cost, I want it all. You know, don't say, it just tells you straight out from the beginning, you need to just die to yourself. That's what it means. So don't worry about the details. Just have that attitude all the time. Anyway, that we had to make a decision whether we were going to continue with this and build, you know, have this extension, which was going to cost us quite a lot of money, and we were going to be short because we've only got X amount. So we went for it. But what we decided to do, there was an opportunity in that suddenly, look like a crisis situation. We can go up two floors or three floors. We can go as long as we want, because the piles that we're putting in, you can build a tower block. Obviously, we didn't have the money, and our neighbours wouldn't want a tower block, but we went for two stories. So for us today, although we've not calculated everything that's gone on in our lives, 20, 30 years on from when we first started to follow Christ, we're at a place that maybe is not the same place that we were, you know, where we started off. And the Lord is still saying to us to count the costs. I just want to encourage us. Things can work out better than what you expected. Things can work out better. You may not just end up with one level, you can end up with two. Just to hang in there and remember those promises that God says in his word. And we know that all things, God works for good for those who love and trust him. And again, it's really just applying that. It's really coming to that place of resting in God when things ain't going so well, that you just know that God will work it out. Even if it's our fault, God will work it out. Even if it's not our fault, God will work it out for our better. Because he's a redeeming God. He rescues us and he redeems us and he restores us. You know, and even if we mess up plan A, he's still got a plan B. And plan B is not lesser than plan A. It's just that it's hurt you more because you've gone round the longer way to get to where God wants you to be. Arthur, can we just go to the next slide? Thank you. This is Arthur Blessett. I don't know if you've heard of him. This guy, some people have heard of him. Of course you've heard of him. He's been around since 1969. In 1969, on Christmas Day, I don't know if he was married then, but this guy decided that he was going to take up a 12-foot cross and walk the world. Imagine that, after Christmas dinner, I'm going now, darling. So sit down. Jesus didn't mean that exactly, but Jesus did mean that exactly for this guy. He told him to take up a wooden cross of 12 foot and to walk around the world. And I am slightly biased. I have picked the picture where he walked when he arrived in Cyprus. So this is my country. This is what he said. He's walked around 315 countries to date. 315 countries. Isn't that amazing? And he's been welcomed and accepted in all sorts of places. This is what he says. There is only, I think I've put this on it. I have, lovely. There is only one path, one way. The cross is the beginning and the end. And all along the way, you must carry the cross you picked up at the start. The way is not marked, only the quiet whisper of the Spirit to say which way, where to step, when to start, stop or leap. It's true. There are sometimes in our lives places that we actually don't know what the Lord wants us to do, and we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. But probably 99% of the time, all what we need to know about how to follow Jesus and be disciples and learners and doers of his word is written in the word. It's written in the Bible. So we don't have to get too worried. But occasionally we do need to hear what the Lord is saying about things, areas in our lives. But generally, how we should behave and be to each other and towards God is there written. And in verse 30... Hang on a minute. Where's my Arthur? Bless it, he's there. Sorry. Going to now verse 31 and 32. It's not on there, Jim. This is where the second parable is. And this one, again, it's about the cost of being a disciple. And he says, there's the kings going at war. There's a king going to attack another king. One king is more powerful than the other king. And he has to make a decision. This king that's got less troops has got to make a decision whether he's going to go against this other king that's got more troops. Well, obviously he makes the wise decision, this guy. He decides that actually he's going to make peace. And before it comes anywhere near him, before it gets out of hand, this is a lesson for us. Before our lives get out of hand, this king sends messengers ahead to make peace. These two parables are similar. They describe two situations that need decisions to be made, but they make two different points. The first parable, Jesus says, sit down and work out the cost of what it means to follow me, what it means to live a life like me and with me. And in the second, he says, sit down and work out if you can afford to refuse my demands. Both are saying, don't start unless you are sure you can see it through. Don't start. Count the costs whether you actually really want to follow Jesus. Don't go starting onslaughting something if you don't think you can do it. When I came to faith, I really was thinking about this. I think I started off trying to count the costs. And how I was counting the costs was whether I was getting conned here, whether this was a cult. And, I had nothing. I was depressed. I was suicidal. And there was me. There was life being offered to me. And I knew there was life. I walked into the church. I felt the presence of God. You know, you feel the presence of God here. I feel the presence of God here. Because I know that probably nearly everybody in this room loves and knows the Lord. And the Lord is here, you know. And I felt that when I didn't know the Lord personally. And I was still counting the costs. Going on like this for I don't know how long. But then the second parable here, where he says that, you know, you've got something coming at you. I had everything coming at me. I had nothing going for me in my life. You know, my life was messed up because some other people have messed it up for me. And I also messed it up. I did a very good job messing up my own life. I was no more than 13 and a half. And in 13 and a half years, don't ask me how many of those years I was active in destroying my life. But I did a very good job at it very quickly. And before I could even think about being an adult, I was actually wanting to kill myself. So I had the enemy at me. I didn't really have much of a choice. So before it can get too bad, I went ahead quickly and made my peace with the Lord. And some of us are here today. Maybe we've never made our peace with the Lord. And maybe we have. But it is one of those relationships that requires us to go more than once. So I ran. I ran to God. And I just thought, what am I doing? He's either there or he's not there. And immediately, the minute I said to God, sorry for living a life, you know, without you. And, you know, and listed all my sins, which he probably wasn't particularly too interested in. He knew them all anyway. I felt immediate peace. I knew that God had washed me clean. I asked him. I knew what to do because I learnt about this when I was going to the church. And I immediately found God's peace. And I can't say that I immediately found my life going in order. My life was still upside down. It actually seemed to have gone more upside down because it seemed to have gone the right way round. But I didn't really know how to work everything out. There was all these still messed up things. But I knew the Lord was with me. And in faith and hanging in there, slowly but surely, some, you know, things came to order. For those of us who have never surrendered to the cross of Jesus, we will never experience that banquet. And I don't mean that banquet just when you go to heaven. There's a banquet going on today. Every day, there's a banquet of good things to live life with. And for those of us who do know Jesus and are not serving the way we should, we too will lose out in that great banquet that is held every day here and every day in eternity. But more importantly, for those of us who do know the Lord, as long as we hold back and don't walk the way the Lord has called us to walk in carrying that cross, which sometimes can be heavy and other times can be light, we're actually causing others to miss out on that great banquet. Because we are God's witnesses. We are God's witnesses to those who yet do not know him. So as we come to communion, let us come to that cross. And let the Lord continue to show to us those areas in our lives that we need to lay down. Things that are about us. Whatever the Lord shows you. And let's just hold on. I think this is Galilee. It looks like it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Be encouraged that you are a walking dead man or a dead woman. Because actually, we're more alive than what anyone else knows, really. But be encouraged. That's what we are called to do. So God bless us. Let me just pray. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you that you are a powerful God. That you love us, Lord. We just pray you take this message, Lord, and however it's come, I just pray that you'll take it and it will be life for each one of us, Lord. Lord, we just pray in your name that you will help us to carry that cross that you've called us to carry. To not look back with regret, but to look forward to what you've got for us. And Lord, and we know by the power of your Holy Spirit, all what we are, your Spirit is always there helping us. We couldn't do it in our own strength. So as we come now to communion, we can call upon you for help. We can call upon you for cleansing. Have again a change of mind about where you're at. We could do that, Lord God. And we just pray in your name that you would just come and meet with us. That we will not walk out from this place without being, Lord, changed more into your likeness, Lord God. Making decisions that we're going to act on. Help us, we pray, Lord God, help us. I just want to ask if you could just continue in a place of praying and reflecting. And I just want to ask the servers to come up and join me as we move into a time of communion.